I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
KSL's top national story, special coverage with Dave and Dujanovic.
Bringing our top national story closer to home. In the case of the Robb Elementary School massacre in Uvalde, Texas, there's a lot of things we don't know yet, Dave. For example, I don't know if the school doors were locked, you know, impossible for anybody to infiltrate. We don't know if maybe the gunman shot his way into the school through a locked door. We're going to dive into, though, right now, what your child's school should be doing to keep your child as safe as possible.
Yeah, what we do know is there were armed police officers.
Yeah.
And in a small town, too.
I know.
That was really a piece of the story that stood out to me, is that they engaged the police officers as well. And he just shot through them.
For as many safety measures as our schools have taken over the years since Columbine in 1999, the school shooting at Columbine in Colorado in 1999, there's still some flaws here and there, right? I mean, I remember when my kids were in school, and they attended several different schools between elementary school and middle school and high school. I remember getting to school one day, pulling up, and the front doors were locked, which I thought was great. The kids were, you know, inside safely. But in an ironic twist, the side door was propped open. I thought, how often does that happen? And it's the only time I saw it once or twice over the years. If it's one time, not a big deal. Every day, I'd have some real heartburn with that.
Elementary schools are difficult, though. You've got recess. You've got constant movement in and out of the school. You know, at a high school level or a junior high, a lot of times you can stay self-contained. But when you're out playing outside all the time, it's very difficult.
Justin Chapman is the director of training at... Good morning, Justin. Is it pronounced Ajix?
It's actually pronounced Ajix.
Ajix. Okay. You formerly served with the Sandy City Police Department, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct. I was there 28 years and just retired in January.
Well, congratulations on your retirement. Now working for
Ajix,
Director of Training, and you're going to talk to us about school safety right now. So let's start with my question, my mom question that was always rolling around in my head. All doors always locked at school? Should
well,
they be?
Each individual campus is going to have a little different plan for that, right? And also the individual grade level. So elementary school plans are going to vary a little bit from what you would experience at the high school level, because you're going to have kids that are leaving and getting in their cars and that type of thing. So, yeah, when you plan for those, securing those buildings and putting together your emergency operations plans, certainly there's going to be some slight variables from school to school, building to building, depending on layout, depending on communications, depending on all those different things. But certainly having a secure school, I mean, a secure school can mean a lot of things, right? Just to kind of give you a quick little example, you know, I left law enforcement with the idea of coming to this company because I'd had some contact with them before. My law enforcement career, most of it was spent with the school districts, being a school resource officer. I always involved in a situation where we actually prevented a school shooting at Alta in 1998. Gun was there, it was loaded, we had the whole thing. And it just really got me to pursue this concern for what's happened. What happened in Texas was just heartbreaking, and it really bubbled up my emotions again. And I came to this industry to know that we have a mission and a moral obligation to help out our schools and the safety of our students. So that's what brought me to this company. Mm.
There was a part of this story that was kind of terrifying for me, because we do have school resource officers in Utah and many places, but they were outgunned. Can you speak to that a little bit? Are police prepared? And when you look at this example where they had an assault-style rifle, they had body armor, is a school resource officer enough?
Well, certainly this particular assailant came prepared to do as much damage as he possibly could. As you'd mentioned, he had rifles, he had body armor, which, you know, we are prepared as law enforcement to take on that type of a threat. But it definitely does up the game a little bit. In our training and response in law enforcement, obviously we want to be as prepared with the right equipment, with certainly equipment that meets or beats what the bad guy has. And I think as a whole, and it's hard to speak to individual departments throughout the country because everybody's going to be a little bit different with their budgets, with their training, with how they go about things. But our cry for law enforcement is to be as trained and prepared as possible in conjunction with the school, because this is a joint effort in keeping schools safe. It's not just about law enforcement and their ability to be on scene. Certainly when we come on scene or when law enforcement comes on scene, that is the welcome reprieve. That is the cavalry coming in. But there is a moment of time, sometimes, anywhere. The last FBI statistics or study I read was 51 cases, and the lion's share of those responses by law enforcement was 2 to 5 minutes. Some went up to 15, but that was rare. So you have to think in your mind, if I'm really keeping my school safe, if I'm really preparing for it, what is the school, what are the individual staff and teachers prepared to do? How are they planning for that? How are they preparing for that? And how are they communicating most effectively with first responders? And again, that's why I came to EJIX, because there's an application, Cache County's using it right now, that immediately gets that information. The moment one of those teachers sees something happening, they simply press a button on the app, which gets information to dispatch, which disseminates it out to the rest of the school, disseminates it out to law enforcement, first responders, because that time is so precious. That's where we're having those fatalities and those injuries, is the time before law enforcement arrives.
So, Justin, I've only got about 60 seconds left. I guess I was hoping for a little more detail for our parents here who might be worried about their own school security, and it sounds like get with law enforcement or get with your school board, get with your principal to find out what the school security measures are there. But this app, is this something that is in all Utah schools, or is it just up north? And what does it do?
It's not in all Utah schools, but it is being shown and demonstrated to several schools within the valley. And also our state capital is using it. Cache County is using it. And it definitely is available. And this particular app is it's robust enough it's robust enough yet simple enough to use that it just fits that niche perfectly to be used by law enforcement, first responders, and the school at the same time. It's a way that you can practice and do drills in a very easy manner when you're not having an actual emergency. It can also respond to maybe smaller emergencies like a medical emergency or bullying, those types of things. And it should be thought of as using in conjunction with your current emergency operations planning and even some other additional apps that you're using, like the Safe UT app. We get information that way and from that app, and we can use that EJIX AIM app to disseminate that and work closely and coordinated properly with our other stakeholders.
Justin Chapman, thank you for joining us.
Straight ahead, we're going to continue, of course, to monitor what is going on in Uvalde, Texas. Jim Ryan of ABC News is there live, standing by live for an update throughout the show, throughout the day here at KSL News Radio. So we're not completely stepping away from it, but we do want to turn to other news of the day. We've got this horrible video coming out of Ogden High School. It was brought to light through social media, where a girl appears to be being beaten in the school bathroom, Dave. We're going to bring you the latest on that case. We're also going to ask the question of Attorney Greg Skordis is calling the show as well. You had a question about juvenile records because this happened among some juveniles. You wanted to ask a question about how public those are so we can follow this case, because that attack just seems so brutal.
Yeah, it was a brutal attack. And when you're talking about high school kids, it's terrifying. And I think we were reminded that we can't ignore these warning signs. We don't know what's going to happen, but We have to address dangerous behavior when it happens.
Dave and Dujanovic.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.